Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. How many of you are glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning? Amen. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord, David said. And today it's our turn to say, I'm glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning because Jesus is here. Pastor Steve started the service this morning saying, there's someone special in the house this morning. And it's none other than our Lord Jesus. Amen. And wherever he is, there is power, there is glory, there is joy, there is peace, and there is healing. Amen. It was such a powerful service so far, and I really experienced the power of God moving our midst, and I believe God's going to do more. Amen. Are you ready for something more? Yes. Hallelujah. Well, my name is Raj, as Pastor Roy has wonderfully introduced. We've moved back to India in 2011, my wife Colleen and I, and since then we've been serving God as missionaries there, and this year marks our 10th anniversary doing ministry in India. Hallelujah. So 10th anniversary, 10 years of God's faithfulness. And God has been so faithful through ups and downs, through so many challenges and struggles on the mission field. God continues to be faithful, and it is God who is helping us to keep moving. And so we want to give glory to God for that. And I really want to thank Pastor Parkey for giving me this opportunity. Pastor Parkey and Rhonda are like my spiritual parents who took me under them when I came to this country first time in 2005. And spiritually mentored, guided, and just being around them, observing them, have learned so much how to serve God by serving his people. So I'm really thankful for Pastor Parkey and Rhonda's life, and what a privilege to have them as pastors of this house, amen. And they have personally impacted my life, and they're continuing to do so, and they are such a great encouragement to our ministry and to our work in India, and to all the leaders of this house, the wonderful elders that serve on this on the leadership of this house, Pastor Bob Wilhite. He's such an inspiration, a father to all of us, but I always look up to him, and I'm really thankful for his life and an example that he is to what it is to serve Jesus. And so I honor him, Pastor Bob, as he celebrates 90th birthday. Wow, 90 years. And God's been so faithful. Come on, let's give it up to Jesus for him. All the elders and all the pastors and wonderful staff who I had the privilege to work with years ago and who are still our friends and supporters and who stand with us in the ministry. I'm really grateful for this house. Like Pastor Roy said earlier, this is our home when we come to the U.S. And no matter where we are in the world, we call this our home church. We tell people, this is our home church, and Pastor Parkey is our pastor. And so we are really thankful for this house and how God is using this church and this house and this body to be an extension of who you are and what this house stands for all the way 10,000 miles away in the nation of India. And we are really grateful for that. I want to thank my wife, Colleen, who is here. She grew up basically in the youth here. And she dedicated her life at the age of 16 to go to India and serve God. And since then, she never turned back. And she's been faithfully serving Jesus in the nation of India. And so I would love for you guys to appreciate and thank her. I want to, if my video is ready, I would like for you guys to watch a short video of what God has done this past year. And then we will go into the message.
Hi from India.
My name is Priyanka. I'm in grade 7.
My name is Magna. I am 8 years old.
My name is V. Sunita. I am living in Destiny Children's Home.
I have been here for 6 years.
When I grow up, I want to become a nurse.
I want to be a doctor.
I want to go to Bible school.
Friends, we are excited to let you know that this past year has been a very fruitful and a blessed year. We were able to not only help several kids under our care here, but also be able to conduct several outreaches in many villages where kids don't have even basic facilities or opportunity to go to school. And with your generosity and help, we were able to provide educational supplies and help many kids with school fee and encourage many kids that are not able to go to school to go to school. And another thing that God has done this year is that He provided a wonderful bus for our kids to go to school. We were really struggling without good transportation, and God answered our prayer and provided a 30-seater bus, a brand new bus, that our kids get to go every day to school, and they're loving it. This year we were able to, through a combined work between us and the churches that we partner with here, the pastors that we support, we were able to baptize over 300 believers, lead them to Christ, baptize them, disciple them. And through our 20 churches that we have been partnering with for the last 5 years, we were able to reach thousands of people in almost 30 villages.
One new project that we are very excited about is our new self-sustaining farm. This farm will provide fresh milk, eggs, goat, chicken to children throughout the year. We soon hope to be able to start farming more of our own vegetables and fruits as well, which will be a great help to the community. We are so thankful for your love, support, and continued prayers over this organization. We can't do it without you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Want to thank Capstone Church family, the leadership here, and all our friends who have personally supported to see this dream, this vision come to fruition. And God is doing great things in India. Amen. You know, we are presently able to take care of 40 children under our care that are orphaned, that are single, that have been destitute, living under the bridges in slums, that have been pushed outside communities, and you know, those who have been lonely, with no home, with nobody to take care of. And God has given us such kids under our care to raise them, disciple them, and prepare the next generation that are going to be a powerful voice for the kingdom of God in the nation of India. We're also blessed to help several widows under our care who we are able to employ, and also provide them a way out of their abusive families or abusive villages where widows are treated badly and are excommunicated. They have no opportunity to be working or go on in life. And so God has given us about 8 widows right now that work with us, that live on our campus, who are having a better life and a hope for their future. We thank God for that. And like I said, we are currently working in 30 villages, almost 30 villages, where our pastors have planted churches, are making new inroads, going to places where gospel has not been taken before, into tribal areas, into the mountains, into several villages, very strongly Hindu-penetrated villages, where the gospel is being taken every day by risking their lives. And without much, you know, they are still faithfully serving God. And so we are making progress, and God is helping us to establish His kingdom. And we want to ask you to continue to pray for us, because there are so many challenges that are trying to come against to stop the work of God in India. And so we need your prayers as a church. And so far, because of your prayers, we have been able to move forward. And every storm, every mountain, every giant that has come against us so far, God has moved out of our way. And so we want to thank you, church, for praying for us. Amen. Praise God. This morning, I want to challenge from a missionary perspective. I want to share a word that God put on my heart to call the church to rise up to a new level of commitment to serving Him. If you can turn your Bibles with me to Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8. There will be scriptures on the screen as well. But it's nice to turn our Bibles, right? Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8. In the vision that Isaiah saw, he heard and he saw God asking a question. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" And I said, Isaiah replied, "Here am I, send me. Here am I, Lord, send me." That is a classic commitment, a classic example of what it is to be fully committed to following God and to serving Him no matter what. Isaiah, I don't know what his circumstance was, but when the call came out, "Who will go for us? Whom shall I send?" Isaiah responded boldly, saying, "Lord, here I am. Send me." And in Matthew chapter 28, we know the Great Commission. In verse 19, it says, Jesus said, "Therefore, go and make disciples." Let's go from verse 18. "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go.'" Can everybody say, "Go"? "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." You know, church has a mission. Do you agree with me? Church is not just for us to gather and have a happy celebration, worship, and celebrate what God has done in our lives. But I think, and I believe strongly, the church also has a mission to take this hope into the streets, into the dying world, into the dark alleys, into the suffering, into the nations across the world that have never heard the name of Jesus. You and I have a great mission. God's mission is that the whole world be saved. Amen? John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son." Everything that He had, He gave up so that this world, that you and I can be saved and have eternal life. And to fulfill His mission, He's calling you and I to partner with Him, to go on this co-mission, on this mission of reaching out to the unreached, to going into the unreached parts of the world, to the uttermost parts of this earth, and take the gospel and reach everyone for Christ, because the time is short. And our mission must be what God's mission is. In John Wesley, he said, "You have one business on earth, that is to save souls." One business on this earth, my friend. If you ever wonder what your life is all about, what the purpose of your life is, it's a great saying. He said, "One business on the earth that you and I have is to save souls." In order for the Great Commission to be fulfilled throughout the earth, we as a church of Jesus Christ must get into action. That means we must get ready to go. We must get ready to leave this chairs, leave this building and go out into the streets. Starting tomorrow, we need to go everywhere God sends us to reach everyone, to reach every person that God brings our way, to introduce Him, to have an encounter with the true living God who can save them from eternal damnation. Why must we go is what I'm going to share this morning. Why must we go? Is it only for missionaries? Is it only, you know, those that have you know, made a promise to God and said, Lord, I will serve you for the rest of my life, and I will go to whatever country you show me and be a missionary and serve you. Is it only for missionaries, or is it for everyone that is here in this building right now? I strongly believe it is a commandment, a commission, a mandate that Jesus has given to every single one of us, regardless of where you live, regardless of what your profession is, what your family background is, what your qualification is. Everyone must go. You know, that commandment, that commission that Jesus gave in Matthew chapter 28 was not just for the disciples of that day, but it is for every one of us who say, I want to follow you, Lord. I surrender my life to you, Jesus. I will do whatever you tell me to do. I'll go wherever you send me. How many of you have said that at times? But that's not just for something for that moment, but it is for us to carry it out every single day of our lives, no matter where you are placed by God. I want to share three main reasons why we must go as a church, as individual, as a disciple of Jesus. Number one reason why we must go is simply because God said so. Amen. We don't need a bigger or a better reason to go where Jesus tells us to go. If he said go, that has to be enough. That ought to be enough reason for us to step out and start heading the direction that God tells us to go. Because, my friend, I believe that God handpicked you. God chose you. God selected you with a great big purpose of using your life to touch and impact so many people in this world. You may not realize, but when you step out into the call, step out into the place that God has called you to, after you begin to take those steps of faith and begin to follow him to where he leads, you're going to see lives being impacted in a powerful way. Lives, you know, touched by the power of God. People change their lives, come around and leave their dark lives, leave their old lives, and begin to embrace the love of Jesus, begin to embrace the truth. We have seen that over and over again in the nation of India. You know, we were living comfortably serving and blessed by everything God has given us in this country, beautiful, wonderful, blessed country. But there was a time when God told us to leave and go back to India. And when we said that, we made a very big commitment. We didn't understand what all that would entail when we get there. But we said, yes, God, wherever you send us and whatever you want us to do, we are willing to follow you. It was hard to leave our family and friends and a wonderful church that loved us and leave completely back to India where things are not the same as here. But we wanted to serve and do whatever God told us to do, not even knowing where we were going to live, and not knowing how our life is going to again be readjusted to the life in India. But when we stepped out in faith and followed God, even though we had to face a lot of challenges in the beginning, God began to smooth things out. God began to open doors for us. God began to lead us to the right people. And God began to connect us with the people that needed Jesus. Amen. We took Pastor Roy and team from our church to some of the slums that you would not even like to step into. The smell, the conditions in that areas, you know, with mosquitoes biting, flies all over you, kids half naked running around, sewer water running all over the place. People are living in these shanty areas without any hope. But God has allowed us to take his light and his hope and his life into some of these regions where today their lives have been transformed by the power of the gospel of Jesus. You never know what God wants to do through your life. You are very unique and you are called for a higher purpose. In John chapter 15, verse 16, Jesus said, "You did not choose me, but I chose you to go out into the world and bear fruit, fruit that will last." The fruit that God wants to help you bear is going to be something that's not just going to, you know, fall off after a day or two or a year, but it's going to last for eternity. Amen. In Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, we see Abraham was called by God to come out of his family, his business, whatever he was doing. And God told him, "Abraham, now I want you to go to the land I'm going to show to you." I'm sure Abraham, you know, was so probably concerned about leaving his father's business because he was next probably in line to run that business, a successful business. They were doing great. But God said, "Abraham, I have a great purpose. I want you to step out and go where I'm going to call you, to the people that I'm going to take you to, because I'm going to create a new inheritance. I'm going to prepare a people that are going to change this world, and I need you for that." And we know the rest of the history. When Abraham, forfeiting all that he was used to and doing, and his own family and friends and his business, when he stepped out in faith and followed God, even not knowing where he was going, God began to use his life to create a whole new generation that are going to be God's people, a remnant that God was going to use to impact and touch this entire world, even up to us. Now, it's not easy to go. Let me be honest with you. When you had to pick up everything you are and you have been settled in one spot and God tells you to go, it's not easy to pick up and go. But are you still willing to obey God? It's a matter of obedience and faith, my friend. It's going to challenge you to the core of everything you are and who you are when you said, "Lord, I'll go where you call me to go." It's a dangerous commitment to make. But it's a good one, Pastor Roy. That's right. Because your life is going to make a huge impact in the lives of so many people that have never even heard the name of Jesus. You know, when you step out to obey God, that's when you begin to see the enemy come hard after you to stop you from being available to be used by God. When we stepped in India, when we began to minister to kids, and when we began to reach out to these villages and slums and people that were living in utter hopelessness and darkness, not knowing the true living God, we faced one spiritual attack after the other. There will be a war against your spirit. People that were living around us, notice that we have come into the area with Jesus. And many around us, many neighbors that were living there were not happy to see that we were in the area. And they began to, you know, do witchcraft against us. They began to, you know, rile up the local officials. They sent police to our home once to find out what we were doing and where we came from. And things were getting really, you know, heated. And we could see the spiritual warfare, the attacks coming against us, our family, our ministry. But we did not duck down, or we did not turn our backs on what God was going to do. We knew there was a great work ahead of us. And we kept pursuing and persisting and just kept praying and following God. And my friend, as we kept doing that, God began to move the idols, move the witchcraft people out of that area. We literally saw those people vacate that house across from us and leave. God shut them down. And the same police that came to inquire and find out what we were doing are good friends with us. And they have been such a, you know, favor. God gave us such favor with those people. The challenges will come. Opposition will come when you step out. But when you keep at it, when you keep moving forward, when you keep following God, God will not fail you. Amen. God will never fail you. We've seen that over and over. You know, when we began to build our children's home, we moved into a very remote village, and those villagers have never seen anybody come from a city, and much less from America, coming to their village and starting a children home, a ministry campus, and doing Christian work. It's a totally new area to them. So when we landed there, so many villagers came to us and inquired, and the news people came and asked us what we were going to do. And so we told them. And when we started construction, village leaders came and said, you cannot build. You don't have the permission to build. We're not going to give you the permission to build. And they began to rile up the government officials that are supposed to give us permits to build. And we quietly went to God in prayer. We said, okay, do whatever you want to do, but we're going to do what we know what to do. And so we just went to prayer. And after a month of stopping all construction, the same guy who stopped me from building came back and said, sir, we are extremely sorry. We are sorry that we have stopped you. We know you're doing a good thing, and we want to fully support you. I will stand for you. Whoever comes to stop you, I'm going to stand in front of you and make sure this building goes on. Hallelujah. The same people, the enemy tried to stop us. The enemy tried to interrupt God's work because he knew how many lives were going to be changed and touched and discipled in that place. And today, the whole village is coming around us and supporting us. They want to come celebrate their birthdays with us. They want to come celebrate their anniversaries with us. They want to provide special meal to the kids. They want to, you know, sponsor a lunch, sponsor something. They are always there to help us and support us because they're seeing love and peace radiate through this ministry. Yes, when we went, it was hard. It was tough. But God is never going to leave you alone. He's never going to, you know, turn his back on you. When you step out, he's going with you and even before you, making a way for you. Hallelujah. And my friend, I want to tell you that it's not easy to go where God calls you to go. Your family could suffer. Your marriage could suffer. Your children could suffer. There are so many things that are not as well laid out and as convenient as is in America. Really, America is a blessed country, blessed nation. I thank God for America. But other countries are not like this. You know, to get one little screw, I have to run 10 different stores in the city. We don't have Lowe's and Home Depot. We don't have Walmart. Seriously. To find one particular light bulb, I have to go to 5-6 different stores throughout the city. And life can get very challenging and stressful with the way things happen in such countries. But praise God, we have a great field that is ready where Jesus is badly needed. Well, I want to remind you, friends, Matthew 16:24-25, Jesus said, if anyone wants to come after me and be my disciple, he must deny himself and take up their cross and follow me. You must deny. Denying can be very hard to what you are used to, your comforts, you know, your everyday schedule, beautiful wife in front of you, your home, and just the way life goes on in a very well laid out manner. It's easy. But if you want to follow God and be his disciple into any part of the world, that could be altered, that could be interrupted, that can change. But are you willing to say yes to God? Even if everything in your life is going to be interrupted, altered, for the sake of the gospel, are you willing to allow to God to use you? That's the question that God is asking us today. Will you be my disciple, even if it means to deny yourself, deny your own, you know, dreams and goals and aspirations and things that you have been working toward, if all that has to be left one day in order to go somewhere where God is calling you to, some of the remote parts of Africa or India or China, no one puts his hand to the plow and turns back is fit for the kingdom of God. Anyone who puts his hand to the plow. If you have put your hand to the plow, and if you are turning your back against what God has been calling you, you might have heard God call you to certain ministry, whether it is here locally, to serve the homeless, or to go to Union Gospel, or to do some kind of outreach locally, or to go to a nation far away, somewhere where you have never even smelt the dirt, and you've been putting it off. I've talked to so many people that said, oh, I've been wanting to go to India for almost 20 years now. God told me to go, but I've never made the effort. Well, if God told you, you need to make the effort, make the step, nudging you, and he wants to use you, your testimony, your life, your message, your voice to touch somebody that has been waiting. Do you know there are people waiting on the other side of your obedience? When you obey God and follow him, God is going to do great things. The second reason I want to show this morning why we must go is because of the need of the hour. I don't have to specifically point out to anything that's happening right now. You're well aware of what's going on in America and all around the world. How all of a sudden in the last few years, there's a big shaking happening politically, economically. And in every other way, we see such a chaos and shaking that's happening. And in countries like India, where we serve, in China, in Africa, I have a picture, brother, if you're able to put it up. 1040 window, has anyone heard of 1040 window? Most of you probably have. The 1040 window is the region on our globe, on the earth, where most of the countries of 1040 window consists of Northern Africa and all the Asian countries. Currently, we are close to about 8 billion people on this earth, and half of that population is concentrated in this 1040 window. About 5.5 billion people. And 90% of that, again, 4.5 billion people have never heard the name of Jesus. Can you imagine? So all these unreached people groups are concentrated in this 1040 window who have never heard the name of Jesus. African countries, in most of the Asian countries, including India. India is 1.5 billion people now, and 95% of that are Hindus. There are only about 2 or 3% that are Christian, and there are some Muslims and other faiths, but majority of India is Hindus who worship about 3 million gods. We've seen every corner we turned, we saw a temple. We saw, you know, an idol. You name it, people in India worship it. Could be a tree, a rock, a podium. They'll worship anything you give. Recently, I even saw that this one guy started worshiping Trump. He has a picture of our president, American president. He started worshiping him. I don't know why, but you know, anything that they can get their hand onto, because, you know, they are so lost. They don't know the true living God, and they are searching. They're looking for the true living God. And there is such an emergency all over the world. And that has to get us out of our seats, get us out of our comfort zones, and make us want to go and take the gospel to these unreached people groups. My friend, you are anointed to take the gospel to all across the world. In Luke chapter 4:18, Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed. The same anointing that was on Jesus is upon you and me today. Do you agree? As Jesus went, He gave us the same commission. He sent the same anointing. He gave us the Holy Spirit. And the same Spirit that was upon Jesus is upon you and I today. We have no exception and no excuse why we cannot step out and take the gospel to the four corners of this world, to the streets across from us, to the neighbor next door. Because if Jesus did, we can do. Amen? If Jesus did, we have no excuse but to step out and begin to witness, begin to share the gospel, because there is so much power in the gospel of Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 1, verse 16, the Apostle Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. The gospel is the power of God. Amen. We're not looking for any other superpower to change the world. We're not looking for another super innovation to bring a solution to the world. Already God has given us a tool that is the gospel that has the power to change radically all the people all over the world. All the people, regardless of their religion, their financial situation, their qualification, their nationality, their race, the power of God. The gospel has the power to change anybody on the face of this earth the moment they come into contact with it. And God has entrusted you and I with such a powerful responsibility to take this gospel, which is the power of God, all across the world and penetrate the unreached people, penetrate the nations that are in this 1040 window, penetrate the people all across this country that are looking for answers, that are looking to government, that are looking to leaders, that are searching all over for an answer. And you and I have the answer to their questions. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Not only unto salvation, but to free them from every captivity, from every oppression, from every blindness. We are so thankful God has allowed us to go into some of the deep jungles of India, some of the remote mountains of India, where through our pastors we have planted 3 churches in one of this area, where recently I went to this area and we baptized almost 4 young people from that community. And the leaders of that area have completely stopped any pastors and any missionaries from coming from outside into those villages because they didn't want gospel coming there. They have strong Hindu worship, idol worship, witchcraft going on in these mountains. And today we have 3 churches that have been planted in that area, and we have access into those villages to go and preach the gospel. Hallelujah. And the village leaders came to one of our meetings recently, and he said, "Sir, we have never supported any missionary or pastors, but we see something different about you guys. And we want to come with our leaders and support every event you do in this village. And we will even financially support anything that you do here. And we want to be behind you." It was completely a strange experience for our pastor, because he's been serving there for many years and he has seen so many oppositions. They were even wanting to destroy the church and kill his family. But today the same people who are turning against them are coming back and saying, "We will stand with you." The whole village leaders came that day. I was surprised. Hallelujah. When I started speaking, the village leaders started coming and surrounding and standing behind me. And I thought they were going to beat me or attack me. But they all started taking pictures and they were standing there quietly until the meeting was over, and I prayed, and they all came forward and shook my hand and said, "We are so thankful that you have come to our village, and we are so thankful for what you're doing here, and we are supportive, and we are fully here to encourage and support what you're doing, and we are with you." And so we began to pray for these leaders, and we are continuing to reach these villages and these village leaders. We are praying for these village leaders to come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Gospel is not something that we need to shy away from and hide away from and keep it from introducing to other people, but it is something that we need to release every day, because as we do that, the power of God is going to begin to work in the lives of people that have been hardened by hardened to the gospel. They never even opened their ears or heart to the gospel. Now are ready to hear and listen because they have searched everything else, and now they are ready. And if you and I step out, we're going to see God move in great ways. The third reason we must go is because the harvest is plentiful. Jesus in his own word said in Matthew chapter 9, verse 36 through 38, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, ask, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field. There's an end-time revival coming, friends. Are you ready? There is an end-time harvest that Jesus is about to gather from throughout this earth, and he wants you and I to be a part of this great move that's going to come on this earth again. Jesus is about to come soon. Jesus is returning soon. And before he comes, he wants the whole world to hear the gospel. He wants the whole world, all four corners of this earth, to hear the name of Jesus at least once. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 14, it says, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world. Can we say whole world? God loves the whole world. He's a global God. He loves every nation, every race, every color, every person on the face of this earth. And he doesn't want anyone to die without hearing the powerful, life-changing gospel of Jesus. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And then the end shall come. Hallelujah. So you and I have a big job to do, my friend. Every time this church offers an opportunity to go on a mission trip or to do a missions work locally to go and reach out, I want to encourage everybody to take that opportunity to go, because God wants to use your life to touch someone specifically in that area. When we step out in obedience and faith, God is going to move on those hearts, the people that have been hardened to the gospel, that have been shut down, that didn't want to do anything with God, and now at a very receptive moment, they're ready to receive the gospel. They're ready to receive the truth. They're ready to receive something more hopeful than what we're experiencing in the world today. And you and I are holding the keys to this next revival. The church of Jesus is holding the keys of the next revival all across the world. God said in Joel 2:28, in the last days I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. No matter where you are, God has not forgotten you. God will not forget you. Right now, our children in the children's home are praising and worshiping God, and I believe God is pouring out his spirit on them as well, just as much as he has poured his spirit on here, on us today. Even on those churches that are worshiping just under the trees in the open because their church buildings have been burned down. Those pastors who have been beaten and killed and threatened to leave their villages, who are worshiping in hiding, God is pouring out his spirit on them. On the young people, I'm really encouraged to see young people. God is raising young people all over the world who are ready to take the gospel in spite of the challenges and dangers that are awaiting them. Church, it's a high time for you and I to rise up and take the gospel to the whole world, because God wants to make sure everyone, the whole world, all the earth, hears the gospel, because he is about to come soon. And he is laying that responsibility on you and I. Are you ready? Are you willing, my friend? I want to challenge you as a missionary who's serving, you know, in India, who has firsthand experienced so many oppositions and challenges and persecutions of all kinds. In spite of the challenges you might face when you stand up to witness for Jesus, when you want to profess your faith, when you want to minister to somebody, are you still willing to go? Are you still willing to serve? Are you still willing to be his witness? God is calling his church, his body, his ambassadors, his bride to rise up to the next level. The church all across the world has been, I'm sad to say, but in a sleep mode for years. But now God is calling the church his very own bride, his very own ambassador, his very own mouthpiece to rise up and to go all across the world to take the gospel. Because it's not enough if I'm saved. God wants to reach hundreds and thousands through me. This power of the gospel that changed your life is ready to change millions of people all over the world. My grandparents were Hindu priests in a temple. They've never heard the name of Jesus until one day an evangelist came to their village and began to share about Jesus. This was about 50 years ago. And my grandparents first time heard the name of Jesus, and they, in spite of knowing that they will be excommunicated from their village and their family, they embrace the truth of Jesus, knowing that Jesus is the true living God. That he is the only way. They've been bowing to the idols. They've been going to the temples and serving in the temples and working with priests there for years on, until one day they had an encounter with the gospel, the power of God that changed their lives, but not just their lives. It has changed my life and allowed me to stand today here and encourage, you know, you guys, but also to be able to be an extension of God's love and grace to so many people in the nation of India. When God touches you, when God changes you, when God, you know, meets you, it's not just for you to have that encounter, but it's going to go to hundreds and thousands of people for generations to come. God is going to do a powerful work through you that's going to impact generations to come. And growing up in the orphanage, I never understood the purpose of why I had to be orphaned. I had to grow up in an orphanage, and I didn't have a father to love on me. But today, I see the purpose and hand of God that changed my sad orphan story into a powerful testimony of what God can do and how God can bring hope and a new future. Every day in our evening devotions and Sunday morning services in our orphanage, I get the opportunity to share with kids and tell them about the hope and about how God has, you know, worked in my life and completely changed my story, and how they can have the same hope as they put their trust in Jesus. And these kids have never heard the name of Jesus, never been to church, never learned any songs or prayer. But today, God is doing some amazing work in the hearts of these little kids. And I believe they are going to be infiltrating and impacting this nation of India in a more powerful way than I can. God is preparing a generation. God is raising up a generation. And he's calling you and I to go and work the fields of this world, to begin to sow the seeds of the gospel, to begin to draw people out of darkness and hell and eternal loss and transfer them into the marvelous light of Jesus Christ. It is a great honor, great privilege, but it comes with great responsibility and sometimes the risk of even losing your own life. But are you willing? Are you ready? It's great, you know, that we get to meet here in such a wonderful building. But tomorrow, if God calls you to go to a country where there's no churches, where you have to worship in hiding, where you have to secretly pray, where you have to gather secretly in a bathroom and pray and cry out to God, are you still willing to follow Jesus? Are you still willing to go where He sent you to go? Because He's looking for people. He's looking for those who will obey and walk by trusting Him and say, Lord, here am I. Here I am, Lord, no matter what happens to me the next moment, but here I am, God. I'm willing to submit and surrender, and use me as You please, as You see me fit. When you make such a commitment, such a prayer, I know it's a dangerous prayer to pray, but it's going to allow you to see the work of God transform cultures, transform generations, transform people groups, transform villages, transform your neighbors, transform, you know, the next generation that's coming up. You will see God do great, great things. Are you ready to see the next revival break out all across the world? I'm saddened to see how people all over this country and all over the world are right now flooding into streets for wrong reasons. And they're looking for answers. They're looking for solutions. And I believe now is the right time for church to rise up and step into the middle of such things and say, hey, here is the answer to your problems. Here is the solution. Here is the direction. Here is the way. Here is the truth. Here is who you need to go talk to. And church is going to have a vital role in these last days. And God wants to use you, my friend. God wants to use you to touch this generation that is all lost and confused and mixed up and don't know which way to turn to. God has given us the roadmap, and He wants to help others direct their lives. And God wants to use you as a GPS to help get them to their destination. You are the GPS that God wants to use. Help direct the lives of so many people who don't know. As they're searching and looking, they don't know which way to turn. And God has given you the truth, the gospel, the power of God, the anointing, and the grace and the great testimony that you carry in your life. It may not be as great and fancy as somebody, but the little testimony that you carry is going to impact somebody in this world and change them for good and turn them to the salvation of Jesus Christ. I want to sing a song, if that's okay. Pastor Steve asked me. I didn't know you sang. I told Pastor Steve, I'm not a great singer, but I'm going to try. This song goes with my message, and I hope it'll encourage you. We work the field of together, you and I. Some fields are blooming now, other fields are dry. We are not the same, but differences aside, we will work the field of soul. Together, you and I. One us is off to foreign soil to work a distant land. Oh, and another anchors close to home to hold a neighbor's hand. Tell me who has sowed the Father most. Well, that life devoted to our God, that devotion will be blessed. We work the field of souls together, you and I. Some fields are blooming now, other fields are dry. We are not the same, but differences are. Shouts the gospel in the street for everyone to hear. Oh yes, he is bold to everyone he meets, and the world is loud and clear. Oh, when life's low and gray, silence on her. Before the throne, day after day, where human eyes don't see, we work the field of souls together, you and I. Some fields are blooming now, other fields are. Differences aside, we will work the field of souls together, you and I. We will work the field of souls. Amen. Hallelujah. Let us work together. Let us work the field of souls. Like I said earlier in my message, John Wesley said, the one thing, the one business that we all have is to save souls. What are we striving for? What are we going after? Everything is great, but if there's no soul winning in our agenda, in our pursuit, in our life, there's something big we are missing. Because soon we're going to meet our Lord face to face. He's waiting with his rewards. And he's going to ask us, how many souls have we won for the Lord? How many lives have we been able to touch? How many lives are we touching every day? You don't have to go somewhere to a foreign country to do that. But right here, God is giving us enough opportunity now. The time is right and the harvest is ready and plentiful. Church, we need to rise up to the call that Jesus has been giving for thousands of years. But I see with the events that are happening all across the world, we need to rise up to call and plug in and join our hands together. You may not be able to go somewhere far off, but you can join hands with somebody that is already serving. God may have been putting certain areas, certain regions, certain countries, certain people on your heart. Go join your hands with them. Be a goer or be a sender. Do something for the kingdom in these last days. Work together to make sure the souls are one for the name of Jesus in these last days. I hope that, you know, you will make this decision that's going to change not only you, but that's going to impact generations, thousands of people, the nations, people all across the world. May God help all of us to be able to be a useful vessel in His hands that God can use to touch and to bring a revival in these last days all across the world. Please continue to pray for us and we really appreciate this church for standing with us and praying, supporting financially, and standing with us to see that the name of Jesus, the kingdom of God, is established in the nation of India. So we want to, from the bottom of my heart, I want to thank this church, the leadership, and Pastor Parky and Rhonda and everybody here who is very instrumental in seeing that the kingdom of God is established in India. And may the Lord bless you richly. Amen. Amen.